The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com.
Welcome to Among Women. I'm your host, Pat Gohn. Among Women celebrates the beauty and grace that women experience in their Catholic faith and life. Together, we reflect on the wisdom of Catholic women as we dare to respond to Christ and the call to holiness. These are the stories of women by women. It's faith sharing, teaching, and conversation that delights in our feminine genius and the sisterhood we have in Christ in a special way when we gather among women. Coming to you from our humble studio located down a country lane in New England. Glad to be back with you again, my friends. Thank you for downloading this episode of Among Women. Here we are in the month of May. It's glorious in most parts of the country. And here in New England, we're still kind of chilly. Spring is starting to happen. We're starting to have some things bloom. But here it is in, you know, the first week and a half of May, and I still have the heat on. I don't know what's happening here in the Northeast, friends, but say a little prayer. We get some warmth. I just put some grass seed down. I'm hoping it grows. I am here with you. I am glad to be here. I love the month of May for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is it's the Mother of God month, and it's the month for mothers. In the church, we recognize Our Lady as the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Blessed Mother. And I'd like to talk today about Mary in two ways. First of all, we're going to be talking about the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima's apparitions and message. And I have to say, Our Lady of Fatima, you know, when I went to Fatima in 1998, I feel like, you know, I received a lot of graces and a lot of personal healing from that time. And a lot of things grew out of that that time in my life. It was one of the things that I think helped encourage me after my bout with cancer. It was also an encouragement to think about going back to school for a master's in theology. It took me a number of years to get that done. But it also encouraged me to be more active in terms of outreach to women and to pick up my pen again and to begin writing more than I had in the past. I was a writer as a younger woman, but, you know, during the childbearing years and then the cancer derailment and everything else, I had kind of put my pen down for quite some time. I see a lot of personal fruit in my own life in terms of my renewed devotion to Our Lady and then, you know, consecration to Jesus through Mary that I experienced not only through the preparation prayers of St. Louis de Montfort, but later on again, you know, I've renewed that many times in the years since. And I just feel like Mary has had a beautiful guiding hand in my life and in the apostolate of Among Women. So this is just a great opportunity for me to kind of boast about my Mama Mary again on this show, talking about Our Lady of Fatima. So we'll be getting to that in our Blessed Are They segment. And then in our conversation segment today, I'm happy to welcome Judy Klein to the program. Judy and I met in real life a few years ago. We've been on a little bit of retreat together and have gotten to know each other a little bit through the years. So I was happy to endorse her latest book called Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. And, you know, Judy she's a very prolific writer and a teacher of the faith as well. So we're going to be diving into her book today and talking about how important it is for us to parent with the encouragement and the example of Mary in our lives. It's a great book. It's part of the Catholic Mom book series. I'm so impressed that CatholicMom.com and have really, you know, brought us some really good books for motherhood and for family life over the years. So this is another book in that series. And, you know, I've endorsed the book. And so it's my joy to bring Judy here on to the program today. So we'll be talking more about that. And of course, we're going to be talking about Mama Mary. So Just one other quick thing before we dive into the program. I just want to let you know that our little program Among Women continues to grow and reach new areas. And I was recently blessed when the Discerning Hearts Network reached out to me and asked if Among Women could be added to their amazing lineup of podcasts. Chris McGregor, who has been the force behind the Discerning Hearts Network, has been someone I have long admired for the assembly of spiritual programming that she's brought to the world through Discerning Hearts. Discerning Hearts is now live streaming podcast. It's also providing apps for, you know, downloadable podcasts. And I'm just, you know, so pleased and grateful to God for this opportunity for Among Women to join the Discerning Hearts Network. So I just want to point you in the direction of Discerning Hearts. There are so many great podcasts over there, especially for the spiritual life. I can't recommend it enough. I really would like to recommend the podcast with Father Gallagher, Father Timothy Gallagher, who's an oblate of the Virgin Mary. He does a whole series on discernment of spirits and other series that talk about the interior spiritual life and how we can discern, you know, what God is saying to us and how that affects our prayer. There's so many other good teachers over there talking about the interior life and the spiritual life and how to grow in prayer. So I really recommend Discerning Hearts Network to you. It's an apostolate that has grown out of a large radio apostolate, Spirit Radio out in Nebraska. And like I said, I'm just delighted to be invited and to have Among Women part of the Discerning Hearts podcasting group. So check that out, and I'll leave links in the show notes for this episode. So grateful that you're here. Thank you for downloading this episode of Among Women. There is just so much to say about Our Lady of Fatima. Again, we've had 100 years to really meditate on her apparitions and her message at Fatima. And Judy and I are going to talk a little bit about Fatima in our interview today. And like I said, I have done other podcasts on this subject in terms of how it affects me personally. And I've done a profile on Jacinta and done other writing about Fatima. So I will link a few of my articles in this episode of the show notes as well. So many people have spilled a lot of ink over this particular apparition of Our Lady. And really, I think because it's one of these very profound messages, it's a real true call to prayer. It's a call to penance and reparation. It's a call to holiness, ultimately. But the thing about Our Lady of Fatima is this message of prayer and making sacrifices, you know, offering things up for others, and also dealing with the sufferings of life and the holiness of life. The message of Our Lady of Fatima really is an essential reminder for us in the difficult times that we live in the modern age, that is the 21st century. Our Lady told the children of Fatima that she wanted devotion to her Immaculate Heart of Mary to be spread throughout the world. You probably have heard me talk about Catechist Magazine, you know how I'm the editor over there. I'm actually going to link to an article online by Dr. Virginia Kimball, who's a Marian theologian or a Mariologist who actually wrote a piece for us at Catechist that talks about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But the idea of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is something that we want to spread throughout the world. It's a beautiful idea of how we can, you know, kind of be hidden in Mary's Immaculate Heart and try to live the way Mary lived in front of Jesus always. The other thing is, part of the message of Fatima was that the Mother of God promised, and this is her quote from Fatima, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph." And what she's talking about really is the triumph over evil. And, you know, this was a very profound promise that the Blessed Mother made to the three little seers or the three little visionaries Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, who got to have multiple visits with the Blessed Mother beginning on May 13th in 1917. So I wanted to share with you, what this means, My Immaculate Heart Will Triumph. And I want to explain it in terms of what Pope Benedict taught about it, Pope Benedict the 16th. All right. And these are his words. And he's writing on the message of Fatima, preaching about it. He says this: the heart open to God, purified by contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and weapons of every kind. All right. That's an important concept right there. I mean, we are living in a dangerous world, a dangerous time. The threat of war is ever present. And when the Blessed Mother showed up in Fatima, Portugal in 1917, World War I was ravaging Europe. All right, so once again, back to Pope Benedict the 16th. The heart open to God, purified by contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and weapons of every kind. The fiat of Mary, the word of her heart, has changed the history of the world because it brought the Savior into the world. Because, thanks to her yes, God could become man in our world and remain so for all time. The evil one has power in this world, as we see and experience continually. He has power because our freedom continually lets itself be led away from God. But since God himself took a human heart and has thus steered human freedom toward what is good, the freedom to choose evil no longer has the last word. From that time forth, the word that prevails is this, and these are the words of Jesus now from John 16 that say, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Unquote. And Benedict continues by saying, the message of Fatima invites us to trust in this promise. Awesome stuff there. Benedict the 16th, like John Paul II before him, like Francis today, these popes are very dedicated to the Blessed Mother, have a deep love and reverence for him. So again, Our Lady wants not just devotion to her Immaculate Heart, but the call really is for us to grow Immaculate Hearts, to grow closer to Jesus, to have our heart beat more instinctively or insistently or in sync with Jesus. So Mary really is a leader, if you will, for this mission of spiritual warfare in order to help overcome a final victory against evil. You might recall in early Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis, there's this line where there's the victory over evil is prophesied because God curses the serpent, who was the devil masquerading as he helped to create the fall, you know, Adam and Eve, and leading to the original sin and having them cast out of the garden. There was this promise wrapped around this curse against evil, where God the Father said this. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And now I'm quoting from Father Andrew Apostoli from his book, Fatima for Today. He says about this particular scripture, the Blessed Virgin Mary plays a pivotal role in the great struggle between good and evil, between her divine Son and his disciples, and Satan and his followers. He continues to say, the Blessed Virgin Mary is a central figure in God's plan of salvation. She plays a major role, second only to her Son, in the work of redeeming the world. This role involves her in continuous conflict with Satan. At Fatima, however, Our Lady assured us that the final victory would be hers when she said, quote, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. If you're a student of Scripture, you also know that in the book of Revelation, there's this image of the woman clothed with the sun who's about to give birth, and there's a dragon waiting to devour her child. Again, the church sees this woman as Mary and sees the dragon as Satan, who is looking to snuff out the Savior. But of course, we know that didn't happen. We know it is the Savior, Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin and death and the devil. And in the end, you know, we know how the story is going to end. But in the meantime, here we are dealing with our own problems of sin and death in the world, and also violence and wars, just like the time of Fatima. And I just want to just give you just a couple of quick things. Again, I'm drawing some of my themes from this wonderful book, Fatima for Today. And I want to just read you a quick section here because this is a particularly interesting timing of the few days that led up to Mary's apparition back on her first apparition on May 13th. And I'm quoting now from World War I, called "The War to End All Wars," was threatening to annihilate Europe. To end the conflict, Pope Benedict the 15th, now we're dialing back to 1917, okay? To end the conflict, Pope Benedict the 15th began a novena to the Queen of Peace on May 5th, 1917. Okay, so note the timing, okay? It's Mary's month, 1917, May 5th. The then Pope, Pope Benedict the 15th, is brokenhearted over the First World War that is tearing Europe apart. All right, back to Father Apostoli's book. On Sunday, May 13th, the eighth day of the novena, Our Lady responded to the prayers of the Pope and her children in this valley of tears by appearing for the first time at Fatima. Her message, with its hopeful promise as well as its strong warnings, was meant for the whole world. Pope John Paul II, who has been named the Pope of Fatima, recognized the necessity of Our Lady's message for our times when he said it was more urgent and important in our day than it was in 1917. And he added that the popes have given the events of Fatima a special recognition as its messages were more prophetic than those of any other apparition. Amazing stuff, because the popes continue to go to Fatima and to pray and to encourage all of us to be devoted to Our Lady and to change our hearts and to try to live closer to Jesus the way Mary did. I just want to give you one little final thing, one interesting aspect. Where did the name Fatima come from? Again, from Father Apostoli's book, he says, when the last Moors were leaving Portugal, now this is many years ago, this is centuries ago, a young Muslim princess named Fatima was captured by the Christian knight Don Goncalo. They fell in love, and after she converted to the Catholic faith, they married. Princess Fatima, the daughter of a powerful Muslim prince, was named after Muhammad's first and beloved daughter, Fatima. Upon becoming a Christian, Fatima was baptized with the name Oriana, which is named after the capital district, Orem, where the visionaries of Fatima were imprisoned in August of 1917. Don Goncalo loved his wife very much, but within a year of their marriage, she died. He then decided to become a Cistercian monk at Alcobaça. When later he was sent to a small priory, he took along the remains of his wife he loved so deeply and named the place Fatima in her memory. Many believe that Mary's appearance at Fatima can be of great importance in the Christian outreach to the Muslim people. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, for example, saw in Our Lady's choice of Fatima a great significance for her message. She did not come down from heaven to the only place in all of Portugal with a Muslim name simply to convert Russia, he said. Unless we have the conversions of hundreds of millions of Muslims, there will never be world peace. The other thing that came out of Fatima that I just want to share with you, not only was there a call to holiness, a call to penance, but there was a call to pray the rosary daily. I'm also going to link an earlier podcast, a little espresso shot version of Among Women, that talks about my rosary story. And I just want to encourage you to pray the rosary daily. And let's look to Mary with joy and rejoice in all that the Lord wants to do for us in our lives and in our time. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Up next, our conversation segment. So glad you're with us for this interview. I'm together today with Judy Klein. She's a Catholic author, speaker, theologian, and founder of this, get this name, Memorare Ministries. Of course, we know very much Marian devoted when we mention the Memorare, that very powerful prayer to Our Lady. Anyway, Judy is here. She received her master's degree in theological studies from UDallas. She has done postgraduate doctoral work in bioethics. Hello, not an easy subject. She has taught on the college level. She has several books to her name, including the one we're going to talk about today. It's called Mary's Way. This is the subtitle, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. So isn't that a cool name? You know, we want to be able to entrust our children to the Lord, but also we want to do it the way Mary does it as a parent. So I'm so excited to talk about this this book today. You may have seen Judy's writings over at Alatea or Catholic Mom, Catholic 365. She's been active in the Catholic Writers Guild over the years. She's also been a co-host over at Radio Maria, those radio people over at Apologetics Live. You may have seen her on EWTN with Women of Grace and Jeanette Benkovic, or Focus Worldwide Television's Focus program. She's a featured speaker. She's been at many faith-based events, including the Magnificat Women's Breakfast, Legatus Dinners, Theology on Tap. She is a busy gal. She's a mother of five, grandmother to seven. I can't wait to tell you my grandma news, Judy. She is married to Mark, and she lives in, and I never say it the way a Southerner would say it. I say it the way a Northerner would say it, New Orleans. But Judy, you tell me how to say it, and welcome to Among Women.
Oh my gosh, you got that down perfectly, Pat. New Orleans.
All right.
We don't say New Orleans. We actually say New Orleans. And if you're old school New Orleans, you say New Orleans.
All right.
So
all right.
It's fun.
Well, I can't
wait
to
for
get
having me.
I can't wait to get down there. You know, Louisiana is one of those states on my must visit list. So God willing, God will send me down there sometime soon. So thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Come on and visit.
I can't wait. So thank you for writing this book. Thanks for giving me your time today to talk about this topic, Mary's Way, the power of entrusting your child to God. Why don't you just maybe introduce yourself a little bit and introduce the book to us a bit?
Well, I love Our Lady. I guess that's one thing I would say starting off. And I really, you know, as a mother, I have five children. Most of them are grown. I have one left in the house who's 17, so I just have to get him through his senior year at this point.
All right.
But we've had a lot of trials and tribulations in our lives. And, you know, I was looking, I guess, as a mother for a prayer resource, you know, with real life stories of suffering and struggling. And so I'm an author, and I was having this discussion with an editor over at Ave Maria Press, and they said, well, why don't you write the book? Because I've been frustrated in the past looking for resources that relate to really heavy stuff, in a sense, you know, that some of the real deep suffering we go through as mothers. And I, you know, some of it seems so light to me, like, you know, they're just women, God bless them, who the stories that were unrelatable to me personally. So This particular book that I wrote has our family story and a lot of the suffering we have gone through and walking the way of the cross. But I inserted our story into Mary's life, and particularly into particular mysteries of the Rosary, trying to prayerfully understand how Our Lady navigated many of the difficulties in her own life, which gives us a clue to how we're supposed to navigate the difficulties in our own lives.
Excellent. You know, this idea that life is messy and that we have real trials. For me, I mean, people have heard my story and some of the difficulties in my own life that prayer and grace have brought me through. I think that's really important because we know about, as Catholics, this idea of redemptive suffering. And I think that's part of the beauty of your book. I mean, full disclosure here for our listeners, I did endorse this book because I do feel that there's this implicit idea of redemptive suffering throughout the book, and as you talk about some of the stories of your family life, and that in our suffering, we have to turn to Jesus through Mary. And I love this idea that we're trying to parent. This is what I get from your book. We're trying to parent the way Mary might have be calling us to parent today in our own struggles.
For sure, and really an imitation of Our Lady. You know, I one of my ideas in the book is that we sugarcoat Mary's life. And, you know, even, for instance, you know, the birth of Jesus, we think of, you know, cooing cows and beautiful doves flying around or whatever in the manger. But this is a difficult situation with a young woman who was away from home and really who had nowhere to give birth to her baby. And, you know, this is part of her suffering starts off at the very beginning. As soon as she agrees to be the mother of God, you know, then she's pregnant and she's not formally, quote unquote, officially publicly married to St. Joseph yet. So she could be stoned for this, you know. So from the very beginning of Our Lady's yes, her yes involved embracing the cross. It didn't start at the foot of the cross or on the way of the cross. It started with her yes. And I believe that that's really the call on our lives in a very real way. We were talking a little bit before the program, and I said our life is really a series of little deaths. And it's not that there's not joy in life, but that everything that comes in life comes with a cross. Even if you're a new mother, you're so happy to have this new baby, and yet you're exhausted, and you're not sure what you're doing, and your breasts hurt, your body's sore, and you know your body changes, and it's scary. So there is both things. Both things are true. In everything that we say yes to, there's a cross that comes with it generally. And so how do we live the cross well? You know, it doesn't have to be major things. It can be every little thing in life. So Our Lady shows us how to live well with joy in the midst of the cross. And that's the message I really hope to get across in Mary's way.
Sure, sure. I just want to give people a little idea on what some of the table of contents talk about. You happen to mention the mysteries of the rosary. For instance, chapter one is talking about the Annunciation, the yes of surrender. Chapter two is talking about the Visitation, the power of godly friends. Chapter three talks about the birth of Jesus, embracing our poverties and our children's imperfections. Chapter four is the Presentation, the prevailing power of the Dedication. Chapter five, the finding of the child Jesus in the temple, losing Jesus and finding our way. The Crucifixion is chapter six, when death is at the door. Chapter 7 talks about the resurrection, how God makes things new. Tell me about some of these chapters. Did you have a favorite, or is there one that was a particular, you know, crucible for you to write it and to share your story out there?
The first, you know, I really wrote this very prayerfully. I wrote the whole book in the Adoration Chapel before the Lord, and because it is very personal and it's very raw, and it involves some rather, in a sense, traumatic stories. And so, but the first chapter where I talk about my baby boy, Benjamin, who lost his father at nine, you said I was studying bioethics and I was finished all the classwork in the PhD program and in the middle of writing a dissertation when my husband had a massive heart attack and spent 87 days in the ICU and then died, which was 8 years ago. And so when I wrote that chapter about coming home to tell Ben his dad had died, my older children obviously were part of the journey insofar as at the fact that they were at the hospital and some of them were with me when he died. But Ben was little and we were trying to shield him as much as we could from the trauma of that horrible event, honestly. But coming home to tell him his dad died was one of the most difficult things I ever did in my life. And so that chapter, I still to this day can't read it without weeping. But, you know, the beauty was, in the midst of that, I remember him scanning my face and like, am I going to be okay? As I held him on my lap and gave him that news. And I remember thinking, you know, I have a choice to make. You know, I can get in bed and pull the covers over my head and say, this is all too much, because we had several other things happen that year. But this, the death and the heart attack and the 87 days in the ICU was like the tip of the iceberg of what went on in our lives that year. One of which was my brother shot and killed himself and his wife. And one of which my son was spinning out of control in an addiction. And one of which was my daughter, who was 19, came home pregnant and had a baby the day my husband had a heart attack. So all of those things were converging in a moment in time that was like mind-blowing things to deal with. Yes. And I remember asking myself, you know, am I going to get in bed and pull the covers over my head and say, I can't deal with life, it's too much? Or I'm going to do what Our Lady did with her help and with the help of the Holy Spirit and stand at the foot of the cross and show my children how to move forward in suffering, how to still have faith in God, how to say God is good, how to, yes, weep, because you're going to weep when all of that stuff happens in your life. And there was plenty of hard grief, but how to have faith in the midst of grief, how to continue to get up and pray and go to Mass, which I had been a daily communicant at this point for, 25 years. You know, not to turn your back on God. I think that's the temptation when the cross gets so heavy, is just to say, it's enough. I don't need this. I didn't sign up for this,
Sure.
Or we can turn toward the cross and embrace it and kiss the face of Jesus on the cross. I love what Mother Teresa says, when suffering in your life becomes so intense, it means you've gotten close enough to Jesus on the cross to kiss his face, or for him to kiss your face.
Yeah.
And I love that image, and I've prayed with that image a lot when things have been tough, of just getting up to Jesus on the cross, holding on for dear life and kissing his face in the midst of his suffering and saying, Lord, use this to change me. Use this for the good of my soul and for the good of other souls. And he did. I watched this marvelous miracle occur in the hospital, which is what a lot of what our story is about, was this, my first book, in fact, Miracle Man, is all about this massive conversion my husband had on his deathbed. I was praying for him for 25 years. And, he believed, quote unquote, believed in God, but he didn't really, I don't think he had a personal relationship with God insofar as that he had discovered Jesus Christ and how you enter into that intimacy personally. Mm-hmm. And I watched this beautiful conversion occur in the midst of this profound stripping on his deathbed. And it was just marvelous, the miracle God worked, an answer to prayer. But not the way I thought the prayer was going to be answered. I thought he was going to come home and we would go into ministry and say all is well and have this wonderful story to tell, because he had died and had a near-death experience and met God and been sent back, to, as he said, make amends for his life and tell us about it. And so how I thought the story was going to work out isn't the way my life has ever worked out. And yet it's been good, because God is good. God promises us, I can assure you, he doesn't say you're not going to suffer. In fact, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. In this world, you will have tribulation. But he says, take courage, because I have overcome the world. And the overcoming the world doesn't mean he's eradicated sin and suffering. It means that we have the grace to face the cross, even with joy in our hearts, and stand strong at the foot of the cross with God's help and with Our Lady's help.
Yeah, very powerful. Judy, obviously I've been reading your things over the years, and just this month in the May issue of Catholic Digest, you have an article that's called Parenting Mary's Way. So if we have any Catholic Digest readers out there, you might want to find this article on page 26 in the May issue of Catholic Digest. But you make a point in that article that I think is kind of salient to what you were just talking about. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to quote you real quick here. The article says,
sure.
Many Catholic parents today have bought into what is called the prosperity gospel, the idea that if we pray hard enough, try hard enough, and do everything just right, we'll be guaranteed only blessing and prosperity in life, blessing that includes faith-filled, godly Catholic children. Yet in reality, we see many faithful parents struggling to find answers as their kids rebel, leave the faith, engage in sinful lifestyles, fall into addictions, and more. What's a parent to do? Good question. What is a parent to do? Now, drawing on this wealth of experience in terms of your own sufferings and your own workings with your family and working out your life with the Lord, what is a parent to do? And I think that's what some of the approach of this book is. I'd love you to talk about what some of those practical points might be.
Well, I answer that question in the article with three words, pray, pray, pray. So I never stop praying. And so I would say that's the first thing. We as parents, our primary vocation is to help our children get to heaven and to help our spouses get to heaven too, insofar as the fact that that's what family life is meant to do, is to train us all for heaven. Mm-hmm. So we're called to prayer. And, there have been a number of books out for Catholic parents on prayer, one of which I prayed a number of times, but it is guaranteeing a specific outcome. Like if you pray these prayers, it's all going to go well and you're going to be guaranteed it's, godly children. Well, Jesus himself doesn't make those kind of promises. you know, it just doesn't work that way. That's called magical thinking. And I call it the prosperity gospel, which is that if you do this, you're going to be guaranteed this by God. So, but what, you know, what are we called to do as parents? We're definitely called to pray. And the highest form of prayer our church teaches us is the Mass. I myself have been, because, and thank God I can do this because my schedule permits it. I've been a daily communicant now for 30 years. There is no more powerful way to pray if you can do it than going to Mass, you know, more than once on a Sunday, several times during the week or every day if possible, going to Eucharistic adoration, praying before the Blessed Sacrament, praying the Rosary. I mean, you know, this is, Our Lady has said repeatedly, the weapon that we have to defeat Satan as he comes against our children and against this culture. But I think ultimately, you know, consecrating your children to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consecrating your own life to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I've done the consecration to Our Lady, and I'm a big proponent of it. St. Louis de Montfort's 33-day consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And there's a new version of that called 33 Days to Morning Glory that is life-changing. And in fact, if your listeners have not made the consecration of their lives to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I cannot recommend it strongly enough. Sure. It totally changed my life. And so, you know, ultimately we pray, we ask, and I talk about the prayer of petition, and sometimes we get miraculous answers to our prayers. Jesus says, ask, seek, you know, we're to go boldly before the throne of grace and ask for what we want and need. But in the end, if our prayers aren't quote unquote being answered the way we would like or think they should be, what then do we do? And that's where we follow Our Lady in radical surrender. Radical surrender to God. Ultimately, you know, we have, I love what Gertrude von Lafort says. She's a Catholic writer and theologian from a while back and a philosopher. But she says the only authentic power a human creature has is surrender. And that's really something to think about. You know, in the end, what power do we really have other than to stand in the posture of Our Lady and say, fiat, let it be done to me according to your word, or what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. There's incredible power in praying thy will be done, because when we do, we align our will with the will of God. And whatever the outcome, we know God will work it together for our good, and that we must trust.
Yeah, that's a hard prayer to pray, thy will be done.
Because
something in you has got to be given over to the Lord in that moment.
It's probably the hardest prayer to pray, and probably the most powerful prayer to pray. That's
yes.
Why it's the hardest.
Yes. And, you know, one of the points you make, you know, in the book, but I also found it, themes of it in this article with Catholic Digest, was that parenting really is a school of surrender. It really is, for those of us who are in it for the long haul, you know, with our mm-hmm. spouses, with our kids. We learn more and more that the place we need to be is on our knees, before the
yes.
Lord. There's so many reasons
yes.
to be on our knees every day for the sake of our children.
Well, God in His mercy has given us free will, you know, and sometimes I think as parents, we don't love free will when it comes to our children. We want them to do what we want them to do. However, God doesn't force His creatures to do what He wants. He gives us freedom. And so our children, the same principle applies when it comes to our children. They're free and they have their own identities, their own mind, their own will. So just because we say, this is how you should live your life, you know, it doesn't mean they're going to do it. They will make their decisions, you know, and I believe, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is that baptism is exceedingly powerful. I have a whole chapter on the prevailing power of the dedication. We've consecrated our children to God at baptism. We have claimed them for Christ. They are marked with the sign of the cross. They are sealed in the power of the Holy Spirit. They are God's property and possession. And God doesn't take that lightly, okay? We've turned our children over to God. So one thing I like to tell parents is, and I prayed this yesterday with someone who was saying their granddaughter was threatening suicide. We knelt down and we prayed that the power of this child's baptismal vows would rise up within her like a mighty river to wash away the darkness. And we remembered, and not that we need to remind God, but we remind ourselves, this child belongs to God. Right. She's consecrated to God. She's God's property and possession. And Satan, you cannot have her. And so, you know, there's some powerful ways we can pray that I talk about in Mary's Way. Just, you know, calling on the power of our children's baptismal vow. And so what my personal belief is that, you know, well, and my personal experience, I should say, is that my children have done things I don't want them to do, sometimes that are life-altering. My son is a drug addict, and by great God's grace, he's in recovery today. But there have been some treacherous moments in his life that I have been scared to death he was going to die that day. You know, and all I can pray in those moments, because I can't make him choose sobriety or choose God, that's grace, and he has to do that on his own. But I can beg God for that grace, and I can surrender him to God. And some of the most powerful miracles I've seen with him is when I took my hands off of him and I turned him over completely to God. He's yours, God. I surrender him to you. Thy will be done for him. I've seen a few miracles happen with my son, whose name, by the way, is Christian. You know, he's named after Christ. He's marked for Christ.
Yes.
But you see this grace move somehow when we let go and we let God. And that's a real principle. You know, I'm in a 12-step program, and the first three steps are summed up like this. I can't, God can, I'm going to let him. Sometimes we won't let go of things, and therefore God can't move. When we let go of something, you know, again, Our Lady is the paradigm for this at the foot of the cross. You don't see her throwing herself on the ground, screaming and yelling, trying to wrestle the soldiers to the ground, screaming, no, 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 if this can't happen. She's at the foot of the cross saying, fiat, you know, let it be done to me. Interiorly surrendering herself with Christ on the cross, offering him to God, knowing God's will, when it's done, will be for good. I mean, that I can't say it strongly enough. That's the paradigm for our life.
Wow. You know, Judy, I think what we're talking about right now, and if you would be so kind as to maybe take a minute or two with us and maybe just lead us in prayer. I think there might be people listening right now who have, you know, dire situations and difficult crosses to bear where it comes to their family members. None of us get through life unscathed, you know, by suffering. But right now, perhaps there's somebody who really needs, you know, the hand of God, like, to calm them down and so that they can surrender to what the Holy Spirit might be saying in these difficult moments, you know, to help us pray, you know, thy will be done, to help us surrender our children and our need, you know, to Father God, who knows what everybody needs in these situations. And it's not uncommon for us to pray on this program. So I'd invite you right now maybe to offer a word of prayer to engage our fellowship here.
I'd be happy to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you and we bless you for this day, and we bless you and thank you for our families and our children to whom you've entrusted to us and to our care. And we bow before your throne, Lord, and we bring to you today our sufferings, our crosses, our worries, our anxieties, that which weighs heavily upon our hearts, especially our worries concerning our families and our children. We plead the precious blood of Jesus over our families, into our bloodlines, over our children, begging that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us, heal us, help us, strengthen us, set us free from any afflictions or any addictions or any generational patterns that lead us to death. And we especially beg that our Lord's resurrected power would come upon us and upon our families, that we would not only stand strong at the foot of the cross with Our Lady's intercession, but stand at the tomb at Jesus's resurrection and behold the glory of God for ourselves and for our families. And so we entrust our families, Father, through the blood of Jesus and the power of his cross and through the intercessory power of Our Lady, to the Father's mercy and to the mercy of God. We beg, Lord, that you would work all things out for us and for our children and our families for good. We claim the power of our baptismal vows and our children's baptismal vows. And we ask, Lord, that we would see many miracles and many resurrections in our lives, and that you would help us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through Our Lady's prayers to say, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Increase in us the grace of trust, that we may trust that you, yes, will work all things out together for our good, for our sanctification, for our salvation, and for the salvation and sanctification of our families. And we thank you and praise you for every cross. We turn toward the cross, and we beg you, Lord, let the cross bleed its fruit into us. And the fruit of the cross is the fruit of redemption and the fruit of life and the fruit of eternal life. And so we say yes, and we ask for the powerful intercession of Our Lady of Sorrows, remembering her seven sorrows, and Our Lady of Grace, praying for all the grace we need to say yes to God in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. And I just feel moved that maybe, if you'll just permit me another moment, I'd like to just read aloud, in light of that prayer that we prayed, Mary's Magnificat, which is one of the many prayers you recommend in your book. Let me just pray this aloud, because, you know, we need to make Mary's words our words in terms of the way we approach our Father and the way we approach Jesus. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and his children forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
Alleluia.
The Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, alleluia.
Amen.
In this Easter tide, isn't it wonderful that we have a Father who we can go to and run to at a moment's notice with whatever's on our mind?
It truly is.
And a
I'm
mother.
I'm so grateful.
And a mother who holds our hand,
mm-hmm.
Mary, our
mm-hmm.
spiritual mother, who... People have heard me share about her and her active movement in my life. You know, she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and I think she's calling us in these days. We had a brief conversation before the show, and you were saying that you really felt like this is an age of Mary, if you will,
yes.
in our day to day.
Yes. Well, you know. We, our world, as we know, we don't have to turn the news on for more than 30 seconds or look at the headlines to know that we have a lot of precarious occurrences going on that are unsettling the world everywhere right now. And so I take refuge in Our Lady's heart, and I believe this is Mary's moment, again, to really usher in something very beautiful for God, as she ushered Jesus in the first time. I believe not that this is the second coming of Christ, but that she ushers Jesus into our hearts so that we can bring Christ to the world and be Christ bearers to the world. So I think this is an age of Mary. I think it's a moment of Mary, and I cannot recommend strongly enough, again, the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to flee into the refuge of Mary's Immaculate Heart, where we will find safety and help in time of trouble.
Amen to that. And you know what? I just want to talk about one more timely thing before I let you go. Mother's Day is coming up. The weekend of May 14th is Mother's Day, but the day before that, May 13th, is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and it's the 100th anniversary of those apparitions. Now, I've been to Fatima twice. My listeners have heard me talk about Fatima. I'd love you just to comment about what this 100th anniversary means.
Wow. That I haven't been to Fatima, but I would love to go one day. You know, Our Lady called us to prayer. This was basically the call of Fatima, the call to the rosary, the call to prayer. And I think that, you know, for me, I'm looking around and asking, have we really heeded Our Lady's call? And that especially as things ramp up in the world, you know, where we feel the tension all over the world, then we got to double down on prayer. You know, we've got to really take seriously the call to prayer. So at this moment in history, you know, I think Fatima will remind us once again, you know, the answer to the ills and the woes of the world is always to go to God and for his people to pray and for his people to convert. When people actually begin to take seriously the call to conversion, the call to live the Christian life, the call to a radical surrender to God, the call to radical faith in Jesus Christ, and, you know, really, and a radical witness for Christ, we will begin to see, you know, some of Our Lady's promises, you know, I believe come true, which was that, you know, peace will come to the world. Our Lady really is the bearer of peace. She bore Christ, and he is the Prince of Peace. She's the Queen of Peace. And so I think as this moment in history comes, this 100th anniversary of Fatima, you know, really, which sort of was the precursor to the world wars that we faced in the past and this treacherous threat of communism that rose its ugly head, that right now, again, as the threat of radical Islamic terrorism and the threat of, you know, North Korea, which we're talking about, which is communism, then again, we're called to prayer. We're called especially to pray the rosary, again, to the consecration of our lives to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but to really live a more interior life of prayer and of sacrifice and of making making a serious commitment of our lives to Jesus Christ, inviting him to be the Lord of our life, inviting Our Lady to be, you know, our mother. I always say if people really believe Jesus Christ was fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, we would have lines around the block of people waiting to pray and waiting to receive communion and waiting to go to Mass. You know, again, Mass is the highest form of prayer our church teaches us. It's a participation in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the heavenly liturgy and his triumph over sin and evil and death. So, you know, I don't know about you, Pat, but I feel that this is a serious moment in history, and yet it's a graced moment where we're invited to enter more deeply into the heart of Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the mercy of God, which ultimately, the divine mercy is a prayer I've discovered in the last few years that I just love, you know, especially in light of this year of mercy that just passed, that we've got to plead the mercy of God on the world right now. All of that to say, you know, pray. It's important to really be people of prayer and to take prayer seriously, to set aside time to pray. People ask me when I speak and when I go around the country and speak or I show up somewhere, they're like, how did you get this kind of relationship with God? And I say, you know, I'd love to tell you there's a shortcut, but the real answer is I spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours a day in prayer. And this is with the scriptures in Mass, praying the rosary, praying the divine mercy, and listening to God and prayerful reading of other things. But there's got to be time set aside in our days, our busy lives. It doesn't have to be 2 hours. It can be 15 minutes, but a dedicated time every single day for intimacy and prayer with God. You're not going to have an intimate relationship with someone you never spend time with. I mean, it's pretty simple. So, you know, those are some things that I speak about and I take seriously in my own life. And I can't recommend them strongly enough as this 100th anniversary of Fatima comes. Once again, the call to pray, which I believe was Our Lady's central message.
For sure. And I am so grateful that the Holy Father is going to Fatima for this 100th anniversary.
Yes.
And in that time, he's going to raise up Jacinta and Francisco Marto to canonization, you know, as saints. And the message I get from that little news flash is that, you know what? The Lord wants our children to be in relationship with himself and with our mother, Mary, and that they're ready for the faith, even at young ages. So never be afraid to share the faith that we have, you know, with even the youngest of children, because Jacinta and Francisco were 7 years old and 9 years old when Our Lady appeared to them, and they died, you know, about 2 years later. They lived very short lives. But now they're being raised as saints of the church, and I just love that witness of, you know what, Our Lady knows our kids. She knows what they're capable of. She knows they're capable to be able to be people of prayer and to learn to make sacrifices that are appropriate for their ages, the way she called these children to. So I think that idea of learning to make a sacrifice for somebody else or to serve somebody else, that becomes like a pattern through our lives that God can use for good. And I think the call to holiness is for everyone. It's for our kids. It's for ourselves. But let's work on ourselves first. Let's make sure that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. Judy Klein, amen. Fantastic opportunity to talk to you today. Thank you so much. Friends, again, the name of the book, Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. I thank you, Judy, for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been delightful talking to you, Pat.
What a blessing to have Judy on the show today. It was wonderful to pray with Judy. And I just want to remind you of some of the prayers that came to us from Fatima. Our Lady herself gave us what we call the Fatima prayer that many people pray after each decade of the rosary. So I want to close praying that prayer and also praying a prayer given to the children at Fatima by the apparition of an angel that's been since known as the Angel of Peace. And again, going back to the time 100 years ago when this was going on in Fatima, Portugal. But just want to thank Judy again for her time today. We'll find all of the links to Judy's website and her book at amongwomenpodcast.com. Look for episode 223, and you'll find all our show notes that has all the different things that we're talking about today, the different books we've recommended, the different articles, podcasts, etc. All right, so always check out the show notes. If there's something you hear on the program that's of interest to you, you can always find links to where you can find more of that at amongwomenpodcast.com. So let's close, friends. Let's remember she who is blessed among women, our Blessed Mother Mary, who gave us this prayer. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy. And this is the prayer from the Angel of Peace. It's the pardon prayer. And you can pray this prayer for yourself or for any person. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a production of Behold Communications. Find us on the web at www.beholdcommunications.com.